Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Talking Stuff on 97.1 The Fan. I am Jeremy Birmingham. This is the show where we talk about Ohio State football recruiting as part of the Austin and Berm Show experience. Today, I'm going to be joined once again by LettermanRow.com's Mick Walker. We're going to break down the latest in Ohio State recruiting, kind of recap where the Buckeyes 2026 recruiting class is right now. We'll look at a couple new names that have been added and then deep dive into what should be a pretty important weekend of recruiting at Ohio State as the Buckeyes take on Penn State this weekend. So that is the plan. That is what we're going to be talking stuff about. So let's get to that right now. As mentioned, Mick Walker of LettermanRow.com joins me now on Talking Stuff on 97.1 The Fan. Mick, happy Halloween Eve. I almost said Thanksgiving. It wouldn't have been the first time. We've tried this three times already, and I've said Thanksgiving each time. You and your wife do not have offspring yet, but you're still babies. Are you guys getting dressed up and going out trick-or-treating?
No, we're actually just going on down the road to her parents' house, and we'll have some chili and hand out candy and talk about cool costumes. And I'll tell the teenagers, like your own daughters as well, like, because I imagine they're probably in the camp where they're trying to go out and get candy, even though they're full grown and in high school. Yeah. So why don't you just go on down the road? You don't need candy from us.
Yeah. What was your favorite costume that you ever dressed up in when you were growing up? Like what was one that, like, when you think back on your childhood days and the moments of Halloween's gone past, what is the one like costume that you're like, man, that's the one that I think about. That's like the nostalgic Mick Walker Halloween costume.
Oh, that's the only one I truthfully remember to this day is one I tried to attempt. I believe I wanted to dress up as Robin Hood and people thought I was Peter Pan. And I was like a 10-year-old kid or an 8-year-old kid at this point. So it wasn't the coolest thing to be looked at as Peter Pan. So that's the one I remember.
That makes me think of 21 Jump Street and you dressed up as Peter Pan. I've got a crow. That's what it makes me think of. I one time dressed up as a werewolf version of Chris Sabo, the old Cincinnati Reds third baseman. And I have no idea why I thought that those two things belonged together, but that was the costume from my childhood that whenever I think back on like young Berm going out Halloween candy scooping, that's what it was. Anyway, that's the way we roll. It's not Thanksgiving. It's Halloween Eve in Columbus. We're talking stuff. There's a lot going on the recruiting front for Ohio State, and most of it is centered around what's shaping up to be a pretty important Buckeyes recruiting weekend. That's not altogether surprising. The Ohio State-Penn State game has been circled for months as one of the biggest games on the calendar of the college football season. That maybe is not the case because Penn State is floundering the way they are, but it's still a big weekend for Ohio State. So before we dive into the visitors list, Mick and I are going to run down where things are for Ohio State in the class of 2026, because right now it's October 30th. Ohio State has 22 commitments. They have a number 9 ranked class in the country. Obviously not as lofty as the rankings normally are for the Buckeyes, but as we've been talking about stuff, both between Mick and myself off the record or over at LettermanRow.com on the message boards there, I'm realizing more and more, Mick, that this class like might only be 3/4 of the way complete. When I initially, or like a month ago, we could have looked at it and thought that they were close to finished. And I guess in the big picture, 3/4 is close to finished, but it's less close to finished than I would have anticipated. And if we just go position by position right now and look at where Ohio State is, like you can see holes that the Buckeyes really still need to fill. And I think it's going to be a really interesting exercise with the Penn State game this weekend, the UCLA game on the 15th, and the Rutgers game on the 22nd. Like, even that UCLA game is shaping up to be a much bigger recruiting weekend than anybody would have anticipated months ago. It seems like that's going to be a night game at Ohio Stadium in mid-November, which is very rare. It does afford an opportunity for kids from around the country to visit. But let's just go spot by spot, and we'll break down this class as it currently is constructed. Quarterback, Ohio State has one, and that is Luke Fahey, the quarterback from California, Mission Viejo. He is a player that, you know, Mick, and I know, you know, we each have people we talk to and different sources in around the building, but there was a belief, I think, back in the summer when Fahey committed that he was sort of just a holdover, just a spot filler in this class. And the more we talk to people about Luke Fahey, the more they like think that he's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, we talked to some different people, you know, catch up. They obviously, Ohio State went out and saw him earlier this year. They've been watching the film. They cut it up every week, and everybody's really spoken highly of him. Like you said, even if he never amounts to being a starting quarterback at Ohio State, I don't think this is a situation where Tavian St. Clair in 2 years is just going to be handed the starting job at Ohio State, because Luke Fahey's going to come in. and apply pressure to try and earn the starting job whenever Julian Sand does leave, which is, I think, all you could really ask for in this position. And if Luke Fahey somehow does enter into a position where he can start over Tavian St. Clair, then you've obviously got a really good quarterback as well.
Yeah, so one quarterback in the class, that's where it's going to end. It is interesting, I guess, to consider if maybe Ohio State's approach would have been different if Troy Huhn, the quarterback who'd been committed to Penn State, was available in the summer. Troy's one of my favorites in the class. I love his arms. I think he's got a really special arm talent, but the Buckeyes are set there. Running back is interesting. There's Favor Aki committed. He's been in and out of the lineup this year for Rutherford B. Hayes in Delaware, Ohio. A month and a half ago, it seemed like the Buckeyes were fairly content with just one running back. And then Carlos Lachlan went to see Amari Latimer down in Georgia the weekend of Ohio State's off week in September. He's now surged to the top of the wish list as far as being a potential second guy. And now both of us have been hearing that there's maybe a potential for a third guy in this class, which is sort of crazy considering they signed three a year ago and brought in a transfer in C.J. Donaldson. But now, because of the surge of Bo Jackson and Isaiah West, and you look at the rest of the roster, you look at the rest of the lineup at running back, you obviously, you're going to lose Donaldson. You know that. It seems likely that Sam Williams-Dixon, the path just doesn't really seem to be there for him. So it wouldn't be a shock if he was out of the program by this point next year, or you know, obviously sooner than that. And then there's the million-dollar question really about James Peoples and what he wants to do. If he's not going to be in a position to be the man for Ohio State heading into year three, then all of a sudden you're looking at a running back room next year, which could just be Bo Jackson and Isaiah West and maybe Anthony Turbo Rogers if he sticks around, because he's not played at all for Ohio State. He will not play for Ohio State this season. And so it's a developmental year for him. We'll see how much he wants that. But with Amari Latimer, last week he visited Miami. This week he's visiting Tennessee. It seems like things are changing there a little bit, but both Mick and I have heard this is just a really smart family doing their due diligence, making sure they are actually from Miami. That's probably one of the little quirks here or things to pay attention to. But I know that the natural response from Ohio State fans in the last 6 months or 8 months or a year, whenever a player starts to visit places like Tennessee or Miami, the thought immediately becomes, oh, this guy's searching for a big bag. But that's not what we're hearing on Latimer.
No, we spoke that when we were at the same table and we were in the same conversations talking about this earlier this week. And it's just everything we've heard about Amari Latimer. And it's weird because Ohio State's women, Amari Latimer's family is just so well respected that even a couple weeks ago, the Ohio State women's basketball coaching staff stopped at Sandy Creek to see a 2028 prospect there. And the women's basketball coach I talked to knew Amari Latimer's dad, who is obviously the athletic director, I believe, or the principal, one of the two spots.
Yeah.
And they got to meet him, and they were like they enjoyed talking to him. Like, there's an amount of respect for that family, and that family carries themselves in a certain way that they're just very intelligent and want to do their due diligence throughout this whole process. So nothing that you and I have heard have really allowed it to be like red flags yet. But I can understand, like you said, if Ohio State fans being like Miami, Tennessee, but still, it seems like Ohio State's in a fine enough spot there. And like you said, there's other options that could potentially be on the board as well.
Yeah, but here's the reality, like. Miami and Tennessee are pretty good programs, you know, like, no, they're not Ohio State, but nobody really is. So they are a pretty solid option if you're a running back, and the Buckeyes want at least one more. Like we said, what I think is interesting about Latimer is I was told this week that there has not even been the broach or the breaching or the topic of NIL brought up by his family at this point. So for people who are just thinking he's on the search for the bag, unless he goes there to Miami or Tennessee and is having entirely different conversations than anything the family has brought up to the Ohio State staff, which I guess is possible. Like, it seems pretty clear that they're just making sure of their choices. He's still committed to Wisconsin, by the way. And obviously his brother is still on the Wisconsin roster, but that doesn't mean that there's any loyalty or long-term loyalty to the Badger staff. His brother was a transfer into Wisconsin this year. It's not like he was recruited by that staff for a long time or has a great, great relationship. So I think there's just a lot of moving parts. The other option at running back is to find maybe more of a scat back, somebody that's a little bit different style. And I think that's why there's an opportunity for a third in this class, which we might see a little bit of movement on this weekend. We'll talk about that as we get to visitors. So one to two more at running back. So now you've talked in 24 guys. Let's just do the number, right? Let's just take a look at it. as we go, as we accumulate. If the Buckeyes get what they want, that's two more running backs. That takes us to 24 total in the class. Tight end, they need one. The focus is still Max Sutter from Illinois, the Alabama commitment. It seems like Keenan Bailey wants to swing on that one all the way until the end. That's what he did with Nate Roberts, and he won that battle last year and held on despite a push from Oklahoma, Oregon, and others. This seems a little bit harder to me because Max Sutter has been committed to Alabama for a handful of months, and from what we understand, the NIL opportunities presented by the Crimson Tide are pretty substantial. But that's where they're at. That doesn't stop Keenan Bailey from seeing other tight ends. He saw Nick Lauder. He saw PJ McFarland. There's still conversation with Preston Frizell of Toledo Central Catholic, committed to Notre Dame. So like basically, Mick, and you tell me if you think I'm reading this wrong. From our perspective, it is until Keenan Bailey offers another one of those guys, it seems like at least behind the scenes, Max Sutter is not writing off the chances for Ohio State. Is that, would you say that you agree with that?
Yeah, he said on Sutter. We've talked to different sources, and we've heard throughout the fall that, I mean, at different times that people have said that they think they will actually flip Max Sutter again. You and I have both remained kind of skeptical on whether that will actually happen, but there's confidence in the building that they could get that done. And again, I think it takes a financial component. I think the relationship component is great already, but then you have two more home games the rest of the season. I don't expect them to pop up in the shoe on Saturday for the Penn State game, so you cross that one off. You have two more home games. Can you get them on campus for one of those? Because then maybe things really pick up. And then from there, you've been doing this longer than I have. I remember the timeline of Tyler Foster, who went to Ohio, and there was the debate of will Ohio State offer him down the stretch? How close can you get before you do it? And I think that's where you stand with some of these in-state Ohio guys, is how far down the line can Keenan Bailey get before he says, all right, PJ McFarland or Nick Lauder, you have an offer from Ohio State. You have 48 hours before signing day. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, and again, this is a situation that's fluid. If by some chance Max Clair decides to return to Ohio State next year, then you don't need a tight end in this class, honestly. So we'll see how that goes, because a lot of the financial component that we bring up when talking about Alabama for Ohio State right now is tied up in Max Clair. It's tied up in Will Kaczmarek. So you're looking at this on a per room basis, per position basis for Ohio State as far as the revenue share, as far as the dollar amounts. And so you have to have cash open up before you can make promises. Ryan Day's talked ad nauseum about not wanting to make promises the Buckeyes can't fulfill when it comes to NIL. Offensive line, right now there are five currently committed for Ohio State. It is fascinating to see the machinations happening behind the scenes. We are still under the impression that, there might be something up in the air with Aaron Thomas. Not our place to really deep dive into that, but it's out there and we're not going to shy away from it. He's still committed to Ohio State. If he wants to sign with Ohio State in December, he's going to have that opportunity, I believe, but we'll see what goes on between now and 5 weeks from now. Champ Smith, the visitor from Florida for the Minnesota game a month ago, he's now going to visit Tennessee this weekend as an official visitor there. Back and forth between UCLA and Ohio State, and now you add Tennessee and other schools into the mix. You just never know how things are going to go. Ohio State wants at least one more offensive lineman. If they can get to six, they're gonna go that route. If they get one more and then Thomas ends up elsewhere and you end up with five, so be it. But right now, the focus is almost entirely, it seems, on Champ Smith and Kevin Brown, the Penn State commit, who we'll again talk about a little bit later in the show. So let's add two more at offensive line, right? Let's add one at tight end. That gives us 25. Two more on the offensive line. That takes us to 27. Actually, let's just say if they get two more on the offensive line, then we'll mitigate it. We'll knock it down and say 26, right? So now you get to the defensive line. The Buckeyes have three defensive tackles committed in Jameer Perez, Cam Brickle, and Damari Simeon. You've got one defensive end committed in Kari Wilder. The focus right now at defensive end seems to be firmly on Dre Quinn, the former Clemson commit down from Atlanta, Georgia. He is expected back on campus on the 15th of November for the UCLA game as an official visit. There's obviously still the discussion about Luke Waifel. There's discussion about Carter Meadows. There is none of those things really feel real at this point. The Dre Quinn one certainly does. Now we'll talk about potential visitors for this weekend as we get there. But again, it looks like the Buckeyes are at least in a position right now where they know they need at least one more defensive end. And similar to the offensive line discussion with Aaron Thomas, I think that there is some potential that we might see the Buckeyes try to swap out a current commit for someone else. We'll see. I know that people have already seen speculation about that online over the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to dive too far into that, and I know Mick isn't going to either, but again, we've seen Ohio State do it in the past, that if you're a committed player and you're not living up to what your expectations are, they will not hesitate to move forward. So there's some conversations that need to happen and some come to Jesus moments for players that are maybe resting on some laurels, and we'll see what goes on from there. But let's say two more defensive linemen, but we'll knock down one. So let's go one more defensive lineman. That takes us to 28 commits in the class. If you get it, then you go to linebacker. We've got a lot of conversation in the last month and a half about James Laurinaitis wanting a third linebacker. In-state offer to Jaden Williams. There was the offer to Jacob Curry from Florida, who ended up committing to Oklahoma. Both those guys have visited. Curry in an unofficial or an official capacity, Williams unofficially. And then last week, James Laurinaitis offered a new player. We'll talk about that in the class of 2026. So clearly, the need and the want for another linebacker is there. That takes us to 29 guys. That's a lot. That's way more than we expected, and way more than Ohio State normally signs. At corner, they might need two more, because they only have one cornerback committed, and that's Jordan Thomas, the highly ranked, highly regarded four-star corner from New Jersey. This weekend, Ohio State will host one for an official visit. Last week, Tim Walton went to Florida and offered a new player in the class of 2026 as well. So now you're talking 31 potential commitments if you add two more corners. So like, this class went from being, oh, let's see if we scrape 25 to maybe 31. Like, that seems unlikely, but like it does open up a conversation, I think, Mick, about where the Buckeyes go to best fill out their needs. And they know that they have these needs. The transfer portal is there. Everyone tampers now. Like, we know it's illegal, but everyone does it. We know it. So like, if there's players out there that are already in those conversations, or agents that are already shopping those guys around, like, I think you could end up seeing this class, when you add transfers and remaining prep prospects, get to 32 or 33 guys, which is quite a shift from what we've seen Ohio State do in the past.
And especially because, like, coming into the season, they were content with the number of guys they have. Obviously, they had a little bit of attrition. And like you said, there's been guys that, whether it's performance-wise or just different things, like when it comes to their play as seniors, that hasn't lived up to expectations. But they had, what, 24 or 25 guys coming into the season that felt like they were pretty good with that, maybe two or three more. Now it's like, well, you know what? We see senior evaluations. There's different guys available. Maybe we take it up again. They signed 27 last year. Can you go above that? Can you get up closer to 30? And that's kind of just the way it is, like, in this current day and age of college football, because what Ohio State has had, I think they've had six or seven or maybe even eight members of their freshman class this year already burn their red shirts through six games, which is pretty notable. So you're going to have these guys where you come in, you bring a lot of freshmen in, you play as many as you can early, see who can actually kind of stick around. And if not, you just, like you said, with maybe like a Turbo Rodgers, if he doesn't like the developmental year, maybe he looks elsewhere after 1 year. Again, that's really speculative, but that's just kind of the case we're in with college football, where you have a year or two to get things going. And if not, then you can bring in another class and you've had guys behind them to kind of filter out.
Yeah. And there's also a situation where you end up running into attrition you didn't expect, like Arvel Reese, for example. Like, you know, when this year started, it was not a commonly held belief that Arvel Reese was going to be out of the program and off as a first round draft pick next April. But now that seems to be almost a guarantee. There's conversations about Caden McDonald. So there's things that you didn't really have to think about before, that now as the season unfolds, you're like, okay, well, now we need to react to that. And so we'll see where the Buckeyes go. So as we mentioned, two new offers last week when the Buckeyes were on the road. The first was last Monday, when James Laurinaitis went to Mill Creek High School in Hoshton, Georgia. That is the alma mater of Caleb Downs. He offered Braxton Rembert. I put North Carolina on this graphic as his home state. That is incorrect. If you're watching it, I apologize. I was thinking about where Wake Forest was when I did it, now that I see it. He's from Georgia, not North Carolina, but he is committed to Wake Forest. And Braxton, 6'5", 200-pound linebacker, athlete. He's an all-state level basketball player, 80-inch wingspan, can jump out the gym. big kid, big frame, 200 pounds, needs to add weight. But you look at what James Laurinaitis has done with his linebacker room. You look at the development under Mick Marotti, and then you add in Matt Patricia and James Laurinaitis helping guys develop, and you see the traits that make somebody a really desirable prospect, despite the fact that he's not right now ranked particularly highly.
But even when he got offered, we had a thread on the Letterman Lines message board, and you were a part of it, and we both saw it. Charles Power, the head of the rankings for Rivals, came in and was like, hey, I really like this offer, and talked about kind of the things that make Rembart like a special player. And there's a lot of things when you watch the film, you see the metrics, you go, okay, if you give it a year or two, maybe three, like there's some Arvel Reese type of things in him. Again, feels weird to be saying that after he's started, what, seven or eight games this year, like, or seven, eight games in his Ohio State career. But that's what you're looking for now, so long as like Matt Patricia is going to be calling the shots for this defense in Columbus. You want guys like that can move around, play multiple levels, and Braxton Rembart can do that.
Yeah, and it's, again, a reminder. Ryan Day, I think it was early September, maybe it was even before the season, maybe it was more recent, I don't know, all these days run together, was talking about how important evaluations are now. Evaluations more important than ever when you're dealing with the NIL revenue share era, because Ohio State has been at the forefront of this change in philosophy to say, hey, not every guy that we sign is going to be a first-round pick. It's not always going to be five stars. And so when you see a player like Braxton Rembart, he's ranked in the 1300s. He's not going to move the needle when it comes to the class recruiting rating. But Ohio State believes firmly in its development. They believe firmly in what they can accomplish when players are committed to the program. And then, again, you have a good athletic upside. You've got a good hardworking kid who wants to be great. And you have 6'5", 200 pounds, who can, has a 40-plus inch vertical and has an 81-inch wingspan and all those things. Like, you're like, okay, well, this, now we can work with that. So it is interesting. It's certainly not going to be the sexiest thing that people see when they look at the recruiting rankings if Braxton Rembart flips to Ohio State. Right now, he has not publicly announced a decision about a visit to Columbus. We believe that will probably occur for the UCLA game on the 15th of November, but until he confirms it, it is just speculative at this point. One visitor that is not speculative for the UCLA game is CJ Brana, the corner committed to Florida, four-star cornerback, the nation's number 15 ranked corner. Tim Walton was at his high school last Friday, offered him after watching him play down there in Orlando, in the Orlando area. Brana is like your typical 6'2", 190-pound corner that Ohio State wants. And again, when we're talking about the changes to the philosophy in this recruiting class, some of it is just because, all these schools are firing their coaches. So like it becomes easier to say, hey, well, maybe we should take a look. And Brana will visit on the 15th for the UCLA game. That will be an official visit, his first visit to Columbus. What do you have any insight or thoughts on CJ Brana that before we move on here?
Not much. I mean, that one's going to be a fight. As Michigan's in there, there's other schools that have been recruiting him longer, but Tim Walton is able to build relationships with guys very quickly because he's a genuine person. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State's able to turn the heat up. And he's just in that one of the handful of names on this board next to, like, we'll mention maybe later, Danny Odom or the Jay Timmons. Did I say that right? Jay Timmons? Am I thinking the right name?
Jay Timmons, yep. Jay Timmons, who will visit this weekend for the Penn State game, the Florida State commit. So he's an official visitor for this weekend. Right now, as it's currently standing, Mick and I are going to break down some Ohio State, Penn State visitors. There have been three official visits scheduled for this weekend. So before we break this down into offense and defense, let's talk about those three guys. The first one is Jay Timmons. That is a pretty important visit. Rivals has moved him up. He's now the second ranked cornerback in the entire country, according to Rivals.com. He is a Florida State legacy. We've talked about him on the show before. This official visit is interesting. He has been courted by Penn State and Michigan and others over the last few months, but he has not made visits elsewhere. Clearly, Ohio State is a team that moves the dial and moves the needle, and he's going to take his official visit. I don't know what it will take to win this recruitment, but the fact that he's coming to town will be worth watching. The question I have about a lot of visits like this, and now we're seeing it unfold with Amari Latimer, for example, is that when a player decides, I owe it to myself to look at another option, that I owe it to myself to look at another option oftentimes evolves into I owe it to myself to look at all my options. And so will Jay Timmons, is this a one-off? Is this a, I'm going to visit Ohio State and then I'll know if I'm going to Ohio State or Florida State? Or all of a sudden, are we going to see him visit Michigan? When Penn State hires their coach in the next month, are we going to know if Jay Timmons takes a visit there? Because that coach may have, come in with the dead cat bounce that generally happens for coaches. So that's the interesting thing there for Jay Timmons. He is, again, Florida State legacy. We talked about it a few weeks ago. I don't think that there's like a huge draw to Florida State just because his father played there. And from what I understand, him and his father are not, they don't live together. They're not specific, like particularly close, but obviously close enough that Jay wanted to, follow in his father's footsteps when he committed to Florida State in June. But like everything's different at Florida State now. And Ohio State is the most stable program in the country. And it's 2.5 hours away from where he lives. And so like there are things in the Buckeyes' favor.
Yeah, he did visit Penn State for the Whiteout game earlier this year, but that's kind of in the category you and I talked earlier this week, or maybe it was on one of the podcasts tonight. Like, visiting for those big games are almost a throwaway, especially if they're unofficial, because it's at that point, it's like you just went for a big game. Coming for an official visit shows a little bit something different after what, especially with all the stuff that Tim Walton's kind of put into it. And this is a far deeper conversation, but I do wonder if even Florida State keeping Mike Norvell for the time being, at least, and kind of hanging on to that instead of just firing your coach like Florida and CJ Brona, maybe it's just me, but it feels like that would be worse than just firing your coach, because then at least you have a hope of like it getting better. Florida State keeping Mike Norvell, I think Jay and his family probably trust Mike Norvell to some extent, but there's the writing seems like that's on the wall there. So if that's happening, you might just have to transfer in a year or two. Maybe you have to just look at your options a little harder.
Well, you also don't have to stay there. If Florida State's plan is to move on from Mike Norvell in the offseason and not do what all the other schools are doing and fire him now, like there's nothing that keeps Jay Timmons or anybody at Florida State when he gets fired. And he may get fired on December 15th, 11 days after signing day. It doesn't matter. You can just leave. So there's nothing to really be gained by Florida State to play that way anymore. So, Jay Timmons is going to make an official visit to Ohio State. We know that. There are two other official visitors that we have been hearing about. One of them we're not going to talk about right now. And again, I know people got mad when we did the Champ Smith stuff a few weeks ago. But until the player is on campus or gives us the green light to confirm it, it is our obligation not to say anything. But just it is out there, and it's a player that Ohio State, we've talked about a little bit on the Letterman Row message boards. There have been discussion. We're not going to dive too far down that rabbit hole. The other one is North Carolina commit defensive lineman Jimmy. How do we pronounce his last name? Suliafu. He is a 6'5", 265-pound defensive end, 3-tech at Katy Jordan High School in Texas, just outside of Houston. Supposed to take an official visit this weekend. Buckeyes offered like 3 weeks ago, kind of under the radar. And then on Wednesday, we're hearing that he might have come down with an illness and is likely not to make that official visit this weekend. As we record this on Thursday, October 30th at 3:41 p.m., we are not expecting him to make the trip. So let's just, if that changes in the next 24 hours, we'll obviously find a way to let you know over at Letterman Row, because Talking Stuff won't be back on Friday. But that's what we're expecting right now. So two official visitors, probably not the third. That's where we're at. But that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of other important visitors, especially on offense, where the country's number one ranked running back, Kimon Spell from Pennsylvania, will visit Ohio State for the second time this season. He's everybody on this list, folks, that we're going to talk about, unless we otherwise mention, is a 2027 recruit. And for those of you who are listening, please take note. For those of you who are watching this and seeing the names on the screen, anybody who does not have another item next to their name is a 2027 recruit. So Kimon Spell, 5-star, number one ranked running back. He has not been number one ranked on Ohio State's board for the last 6 months. Let's be clear. That is David Gabriel Georges, who will visit Tennessee this weekend for the second time this year. Ohio State, Ryan Day, Carlos Lachlan were both at McKeesport, Pennsylvania last Friday to watch Kimon Spell and meet with him. That's when this visit was solidified. The second visit, he visited for the Texas game, had a great time. decommitted from Penn State and when James Franklin was fired, but that was underway anyway. That was going to happen. For me, Mick, I look at the visit from Keamon Spell and I think, well, if Ohio State doesn't stop him from committing to Notre Dame, he's probably going to do it soon. So this feels like an important visit, not just because you want to recruit and go after the country's best running back, but because it is really dangerous to put all your eggs in the David Gabriel Georgia's basket at this point, is it not?
It's very much dangerous, especially when Ryan Day made three stops last week. One was the receiver, Ronaldo Perez, the local defensive lineman, before I assume he boarded the plane. The other one was once he got on the plane, he made it to McKeesport, and then he went down to Chattanooga to see David Gabriel Georgia's. Ohio State clearly has a need or a desire to land somebody that they view as a first-round running back in 2027. And I think right now there's two guys in that class that could be viewed like that, it's Spell and David Gabriel Georgia's. So to get Spell on campus for a second time, and now this is a little bit more, again, Texas game, I understand it. We'll talk about it with Keyshawn Bowman here in a minute, but you got to kind of throw that one out because I don't really think there's a lot of these guys that kind of drove into Columbus that morning and drove out before things really got going. David Gabriel Georgia was on campus that day. I believe he had a full dinner with Carlos Laughlin and the running backs coaches in like the room that night. Keamon Spell did not have that. Maybe he'll have that this week. I would not put it past him. Maybe like you said, there's maybe other visitors that could, you know, change plans and cause things to happen. But at least Keamon Spell will get a lot of time, and that just allows them to kind of have all options to land a number one guy next cycle.
Yeah, and you know, we have been at the forefront of saying where David Gabriel Georges is on the Ohio State big board. Keamon Spell, it may not be 1A, but he's not 1B-, you know, like he's pretty. And every time Ohio State talks with him, every conversation, that relationship gets better. It needs to, because Juwan Sider, the running backs coach at Notre Dame, who was the running backs coach at Penn State when Keamon Spell really fell in love with the Nittany Lions, has done a great job. Notre Dame spends a ton of money on recruits, more so than people know, because they're a private school and nobody talks about it. But it's an uphill battle, but getting him back on campus is huge. Keyshawn Bowman, as you mentioned, a top 50 overall prospect at wide receiver in the class of 2027 from Tennessee, was committed to Oregon earlier this year, reopened things, has been on the road and seen a bunch of places, seen a lot of things. He camped at Ohio State in the summer. Really good player, one of those 6'2 smooth receivers that Brian Hartline loves. Khalil Taylor, the former Penn State commit, coming to town. He's one that you've talked to. What's your take on Khalil Taylor?
He's fascinating because a lot of these guys that come to campus as wide receivers either have offers or like are looking at other schools. He doesn't have an offer, and at this point, it's weird to see Brian Hartline offer guys in season, especially because he typically does it in camp or after the full season of film. But wouldn't surprise me if Khalil Taylor gets an offer. And it's just the fascinating thing is to see both these guys coming up. And because when you look at Ohio State's wide receiver board, there's obviously Jameer Brown, who's their commit up at the top in 2027. And then Brian Hartline went to see Dakota Garant from Michigan and Monshon Sales from Indianapolis last week during his final day on the road. And that kind of shows you those three, as we've talked about, are the top trio of that group. And then I think there's guys like Bowman and Taylor, if he gets offered, and Brian Porter, who's the younger brother of Quincy Porter. Like, there's
who has an offer, by the way.
There's a tier of offers that we like, offers and second tier wide receivers that we haven't really seen anybody establish himself from. And while Brian Hartline does largely get his number one targets, it feels like there's going to be a need to at least dive into that second tier. So maybe Keyshawn Bowman and Khalil Taylor start filling up that area.
Well, and there's also another name that is not on this list, but is worth mentioning, and that's Quentin Burrell, another top 75 type wide receiver overall player from Chicago. He's expected in town this weekend. Blake Wong, who's a California wideout, who've camped with Ohio State and really seems to be like a project that Brian Hartline really likes. He's a three-star kid, but he's got some juice to him. Jameer Brown will be back on campus, which is important. Obviously, you want all your commits, and we don't list the commitments generally on this big board. I did list 2028 running back commit Elijah Durham Hall, just because he's a 2028 and hasn't been on campus since his camp appearance and commitment in the summer. So that's a big one. But at wide receiver, there are plenty of other guys. Jackson Dollar, a highly ranked tight end from North Carolina, coming up this weekend for the first time. He wanted to visit in the summer for camp and could not make it. Another guy that's been like future cast, RPM'd, crystal balled, whatever, to Notre Dame. Jackson Dollar has some family ties in Ohio and parts of his family that are big Ohio State fans. So this is a trip he's really been waiting to get to. We'll see if that moves the dial with Keenan Bailey at all. Again, Keenan seems to be the type of coach that really zeroes in on one guy, and he certainly has that guy in his sights with Brock Williams in the class of 2027. But Jackson Dollar has all the traits that you're looking for, and now you get a first real impression with him. Moving to the offensive line, which is probably like the focus of the weekend for Ohio State, the first name we have to talk about is Kevin Brown, the big-time top 60 player, overall number 3 ranked interior offensive lineman from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, committed to Penn State, still committed to Penn State. It's such a weird recruitment because, like, you know this kid doesn't really want to go anywhere other than Penn State, but if you're Ohio State, you have to take your swing. And so Tyler Bowen went to see him last Friday night. The Buckeyes have been pushing. They've been working to get a visit set up. Interestingly enough, as we record this on Thursday, like, it was, what, 2 weeks ago when the Kevin Brown news, basically of him wanting, telling people he wanted to visit Ohio State and West Virginia, came out. And now with that visit to Ohio State set for Saturday, Mick and I both received a text message from a Penn State source earlier in the day, basically suggesting that because of a visit that was taken to West Virginia on Wednesday, that there may be some discussion in the Brown household that about whether or not it's even necessary to take the Ohio State visit. Now, again, to the average person, the layman, they're going to hear that and be like, West Virginia, what in the are you talking about? But Kevin Brown's father played there. Obviously, West Virginia under Rich Rodriguez, not on the same level that Ohio State is, but they are going to make a major aggressive NIL swing here in order to get the legacy to come back home to Morgantown. So as we record this again, October 30th at 3:40 p.m. Thursday, 2 days before the visit's supposed to happen, I think we're, I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm feeling like that visit's probably up in the air. But I still feel like Ohio State, if the Browns enter a conversation in good faith with Tyler Bowen and Ryan Day on Thursday at some point, that he probably still makes it.
I would agree there. And again, he's in a situation that's kind of awkward where, because like you said, I don't think he wants to leave Penn State, but there's a chance that when National Signing Day comes around, Penn State doesn't have a coach in place. So then at that point, obviously he could delay it until February and continue to look around. But I guess if you're going to delay it, then you probably should just sign with Penn State to begin with. Or if you want to look around and you see Ohio State, who's going to be playing Penn State this weekend, will likely beat Penn State this weekend, has beaten Penn State years upon years at this point. Like, there's an interest from Tyler Bowen, who also like does a really good job building relationships. So there's some clear and obvious things that I think would interest Kevin Brown, but it's all about whether he finally reciprocates it by making it to campus.
Yeah, and again, it's a player that Ohio State never really felt like there was a reason to recruit until a month ago. And now you try to get into something late and you try to go full speed ahead, which is the smart play by Ohio State, obviously, but the family ties to West Virginia make it interesting. And again, some kids, there are players out there who are just small town guys. They prefer a smaller campus. They prefer the more rural feel. And Kevin Brown might be one of those guys. So if he doesn't make the visit to Ohio State this weekend, which is possible, then I guess we'll learn a lot about him and his family in that decision. Speaking of offensive linemen, staying on the offensive line, again, if you're watching this on YouTube, you are going to notice that there are five players ahead of the three we're going to talk about first. But the country's number 2 ranked 2027 prospect is Kennedy Brown. He's a 5-star offensive tackle from Houston. He is visiting this weekend for the first time. Another borderline 5-star offensive tackle from Florida, Mark Matthews, St. Thomas Aquinas, he's visiting for the first time. And then you've got Reed Ramsier, another guard from Florida, First Academy in Orlando, coming up and visiting. He camped and earned an offer with Ohio State in the summer. So, Mick, like, again, there's this part of me that says you get him on campus, you got a shot, you take your swings, you do what you can. But I understand the response from the majority of the online fan base that says, what's the point? They're not going to pay for these players. But, like, they are going to pay for one of these guys at some point. And maybe, and this is why I think this is interesting, and you can tell me again if you think I'm wrong. You can tell me if you think I'm crazy. Am I crazy? The thing about the class of 2027 on the offensive line is the players that are listed on this list after Kevin Brown and before Mark Massey, before Kennedy Brown, are Khalil Johnson, Kellen Weimer, Mason Wilt, and Davis Seaman. They're all from Ohio, and they're all visiting Ohio State this weekend. And so now, again, we may not live in a world where you want to get into the habit of saying, well, we'd love you to come here for a home state discount, but players do that for a home state discount at times because they love Ohio State. Ohio State has offered Khalil Johnson. They've offered Kellen Weimer. They've offered Mason Wilt. They've offered Davis Seaman. Like, if you can get those four guys in your class early, maybe this weekend, maybe this is the time when things really kickstart for them, right? Because we've certainly had conversations about Kellen Weimer, and if he's close to a decision or closer than people think. Now, he's got the offer from Notre Dame now. That's a big one for him. We'll see if that really plays into things. But again, big picture, if you're looking five offensive linemen in every class, which is what I think Ohio State should do every year, no matter what, if you can get those four in-state guys, or at least you have a sense that you are where you need to be with them, then it makes it easier to reach out to one of these big national guys like Kennedy Brown or Mark Matthews and say, hey, we've got an opportunity here. You're the lone out-of-state guy we're going after. We've got our dudes in the state. You knew them all. You met them all. You hung out with them all at the Penn State game. Let's build something really special. And that's the only reason, not the only reason. I mean, I know Ohio State's going to spend money on the offensive line because they were willing to in this cycle and are, they're not, again, they have a five-star offensive tackle committed. And just because he's from Ohio doesn't mean it's cheap or free. So the visits from Kennedy Brown and Mark Matthews, which normally I think we would just chalk up as two dudes who are like coming up to see a pretty good game in Ohio in November, it takes on a different weight because like that first visit, the first opportunity to really show kids what Ohio State is about is oftentimes the only visit you really need.
Yeah, and Mark Matthews for a while has been talking up Ohio State, like Ohio State and then a couple of Florida schools, essentially been his top group since the Future 50, where he really did a lot, started doing a lot of media this summer. So now for him to finally get up, Ohio State obviously had success at one point in time at St. Thomas Aquinas. It's kind of been slow there for a while, but still. And then you get Kennedy Brown, like he comes up again, like you said, surrounded with the commits who I imagine submit, like Sam Gurr will probably be up, Max Riley will probably be up. All these guys that are actual in-state commits and some of these in-state targets, you get them around those guys. You probably even get them around Devin Brown or Devin Sanchez, who I'm pretty sure is like the mayor of Houston at this point whenever he's back home. So you'll get them around that whole group of guys and just kind of see how it fits and see how it goes. And the fascinating guy for me on this list is really like Reed Ramsier, because he's kind of in a category of the, like we've talked about these guys in the past, whether it's Jimmy Kalis from Pittsburgh or Luke N.J. Chalk from Illinois. Like they're out-of-state guys, but Luke's Ohio State legacy. Jimmy, his sister, like attends Ohio State and he's visited multiple times. Reed has a ton of family in Ohio. So while they are all out-of-state guys, they're also essentially Ohio State's working with a pool of like eight guys that are either in-state or like have ties to Ohio State. So that's where that makes it Ohio, like the whole offensive line class interesting, because you could get all those guys and have like a good 6-7 man class if you really wanted to go for numbers. But then again, if you get three or four of the in-state guys and you say, hey, Kennedy Brown, here's all of our money, all of our time, all of our interest, can we get you to come up to Columbus? And I don't know how that pitch goes. Same thing with Mark Matthews, but again, I agree with you. At some point, somebody's going to say Ohio State is giving me a really good offer, and I want to play at Ohio State, so I'll go up there.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard in the last couple of years multiple offensive tackle prospects that Ohio State has been willing to dole out seven figures for. Eventually, that is just going to have to happen, and so it seems like the class of 2027 feels like ripe for that. So. As I mentioned, Elijah Durham Hall, running back from Tampa Blake High School, committed to Ohio State in the summer. He was the first 2028 commit. He'll be in town for the second time since ever. And Lorenzo McMullen down at Cincinnati Taft High School, 2028, very highly ranked early on in his career. I think a lot of that is just based on projection. Ohio State has not offered. He did camp with the Buckeyes this summer, did not earn an offer yet, but Brian Hartline, Devin Jordan, and the wide receiver brain trust is certainly aware of him. This will be his second visit. There are a number of other offensive players visiting. Of course, this is just the list that we're working on as far as who we think are some of the biggest names. One name I'm interested in is who's not on the list is 2029 quarterback Brian Snowden Jr. from Archbishop Spalding in Maryland. That is the same high school that produced Malik Washington, The starting quarterback freshman for Maryland right now. He's a really good player. I thought Malik was a guy that Ohio State probably should have. Like, if Tavian St. Clair didn't exist in the class of 2026, I think Malik is a guy Ohio State may have really made a move after. I talked with Brian earlier this week, and he said that he grew up an Ohio State fan because he just really loved watching CJ Stroud play. If you want to feel old, that's the guy he's looking back on and saying, I remember when CJ Stroud played at Ohio State. And that's when I became a Buckeye fan when I was 10, because he's a class of 2029 prospect. So, you know, it's way too early to talk about 2029s, but the Buckeyes are inviting him to this game for a reason. So, you know, just put it on the board for later. Brian Snowden Jr., 6'2", 195 pounds. He's a starting quarterback as a true freshman at Archbishop Spalding, which is a pretty good program in Maryland. Anything else on the offensive side, Mick, that you feel like we need to dive into before we move over to defense? Like, there are other tight ends, Jackson Ballinger, Anthony Cartwright coming back down from Detroit. There's dudes all over the field coming this weekend, but is there anybody that we didn't speak on here? Because I'm unilaterally deciding who to put on the list. You're not having any part of that. So is there anybody you think I'm missing or needs to be discussed?
Again, we don't put commits on the list, but Brock Boyd from Texas is coming back up.
First time for him since the official visit. So
yeah, so that's probably worth mentioning. A lot of these commits have already visited because majority of them are in easier spots. Texas starts a few weeks kind of behind schools. And at Southlake, that's a very serious high school football program. So you don't just duck out of Saturday workouts or something. So he's clearly got an opportunity to come up, and he's going to take full advantage of that. So it'll be cool to see Brock and his family back on campus again.
Yeah, Jerquaden Guilford will be there. I mean, again, there will be a lot of Ohio State commits that we don't list because they all have a standing invite to be there whenever they want. And it's just up to their family to get them there. So for the Boyds coming from Texas, welcome back. Hopefully you brought your winter coat because it's going to be a little chilly. Let's flip it over to the defense. There are not quite as many names that I've listed, but that doesn't mean the names that are listed are not big. Again, there's the Jay Timmons official visit. That's at the top of the list here. We can jump around here a little bit because I think there are important names to start with. That has to be John Meredith, number one, who's the cornerback from Texas coming up to visit Ohio State. He is right now the industry's consensus number one player in the class of 2027. Very rare for a cornerback to be in that spot, very rare for a cornerback to hold onto that spot. So we'll see how long that lasts. But Ohio State, you know, you look at it and you think, oh, well, the Buckeyes, it's impossible to go recruit the number one corner in the country out of Texas. Well, they did it 2 years ago. They did it 8 years ago with Jeff Okuda. Like, you can do it if the relationship is right and if the money is right in this new era. And this is a big weekend for Tim Walton to make his first impression on John Meredith, but it's also a big weekend for Matt Guerrieri to make an impression on Jaquan Snell, who is a top 40 overall prospect at safety coming up from Waxahachie. Like, it's kind of like, this is one of those times when you just want these guys to hang out together and do it at Ohio State and say to yourself, hey, maybe we could just go away to school together. Like, we don't need to stay home, because Texas A&M obviously pushing hard for guys like Meredith and Snell. I know Snell is the guy that you're particularly interested in. If we were doing mixed guys, he might be on that list for you.
The fascinating thing is, like you mentioned, John Meredith, and he's probably one of the top five best players in the country. I think Tim Walton and the cornerback room would probably have him near the top of the board there, along with some guys like Aaron Washington and Danny Lang. But I think there's two guys on this list that, if we go to assistant coaches like James Laurinaitis and ask who's your top guy in 2027, I think Quentin Cypher might be the first name out of his mouth. And the same thing with Matt Guerrieri at safety. If we said, who do you really like? He would say Jaquan Snell. Like, Matt Guerrieri saw his 2026 safeties, checked up on him the first couple weeks, and his Friday stop last week was to go see Jaquan Snell in some capacity, whether it was the game or a stop at his school. Like, most, if you track down some of these visits that Ohio State has taken, like Keenan Bailey went to see Brock Williams during the first one. He's a 2027 guy. We mentioned Brian Hartline's 2027 visits. Most of the time when they go see these guys in 2027, it's because they are really big fans of them. And even you have Carlos May on here. Larry Johnson saw him last week when he was in Alabama. So there's a lot of crossover of guys that Ohio State went and saw recently, and now they're coming right back up to campus. So you're seeing these coaches within the span of a couple of weeks, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, and again, Meredith is coming up with Snell and Kennedy Brown. Those three are all traveling together. So, like, it reminds me, and it didn't turn out like a 4-for-4 thing for Ohio State in 2017. For those of you who are really old, In 2017, Ohio State recruited Baron Browning, Jeff Okuda. They recruited J.K. Dobbins, and they were this close to getting the big defensive tackle Marvin Wilson out of Texas as well. And all four of those guys came up for a visit together in November. And so, like, you just want to build that camaraderie, but again, you also want to be around players who are not afraid to leave the state of Texas and are not afraid to make a big splash move. And I am confident that the Devin Sanchez's family will be involved in conversations with people this weekend, especially for Meredith. Meredith is not in Houston. He's in the Dallas area, but they all work with the same trainers, and those sorts of things are important. Mick mentioned Quentin Cypher. There's a lot of really good linebackers coming into town over these next few weeks. Cypher is on this list here. Sean Fox is on this list here from Indiana. I was told pretty straight up last week, like, Quentin Cypher is the number one target at linebacker for Ohio State in the class of 2027. That is
Were you called straight up dog?
I was told straight up dog, straight up, yo. Here's the sitch. Quentin Cypher has moved into that spot for Ohio State. That's not to say other guys like Caden Henderson out of Tampa aren't right there, but Cypher, as an off-ball linebacker who can do a lot of things, can also blitz, can run sideline to sideline, 6'3", 215. He's got some ish to him, and the Buckeyes really like it. He's only visited once. That was for a game last October. That visit did not – this is one of those times. Like, I normally scoff at doing, like, post-visit recruiting updates anymore because they're so generic and they're so predictable, you know? Oh, visit was great. Coaches were cool. Everything was great. Atmosphere was awesome. Quentin Cypher did not have a great visit when he was at Ohio State a year ago, and it wasn't because things were bad. He just didn't get a lot of attention from Ohio State because they had a lot of linebackers on campus that day, including guys like Sincere Johnson. That was the day Sincere got offered. Like, there's a lot of other moving parts. And so it's been basically a year-long effort to remind him or to show to Quentin Cypher that you are a priority for Ohio State. He tried to make it up to campus in June alongside his teammate, Rashad Streets, whose name is listed here as one of the defensive ends on this list. They could not make it because of flight mechanical issues or flight scheduling issues or something with the flight. This is a big visit for Ohio State and Quentin Cypher because the teams that are really linked to him are like North Carolina State, who are very like, you know, North Carolina is a dumpster fire. North Carolina State is probably close to firing Dave Doering. Clemson has been a real dumpster as well. So, like, this is an opportunity. If this is your guy, go get him. And you talked about, you know, when David Gabriel Georges came in October or in September, the opportunity to spend some extra time with the linebacker or the running backs coach at the time, like, that's going to happen this weekend for Quentin Cypher. There's going to be Friday, there's going to be dinners, there's going to be full on NIL presentations, there's going to be everything that you would get in an official visit, because this visit will probably determine if he ever comes back. So it's a big weekend for Ohio State with Quentin Cypher, who they really, really like.
It's just funny with Quentin Cypher. You mentioned catching up with guys and doing stories. That's not typically Berm's lane. He likes to kind of put everything in together for some stuff, for a story. I did catch up with Quentin Cypher after his visit last year, and I went and looked back on it. And something about, luckily for Ohio State fans and luckily for James Laurinaitis, the family has decided to drive up for this visit, which is about an 8-hour or so drive. The last visit as well, they had to wake up at about 3 a.m. to get on a plane from Raleigh to Columbus. So luckily they're driving, so it should be a little bit more convenient. But then, like you said, I think he enjoyed the last one, but this one will much be like, he'll be the guy that James Laurinaitis comes down the tunnel. Like, I imagine he'll have one of these main guys or one of the main recruiters, a conversation with Mark Pantoni before the game. They'll have different things like that. And then the final thing that I'll mention here before I hand it back to you is, like, the bottom of this list, it's 2028 guys, and it's hard to talk about 2028 guys right now and act like it's super serious. But still, Darian Prescott's from Illinois, Jaden Ball's from Michigan, Jameer Weiss, who's committed to Ohio State already, is from Ohio. The Kellen Hall, who I know you're a big fan of, from Louisville, Kentucky, is, like, from Louisville, which is in driving distance. Cameron McGee's a guy that I really love from Chicago. I think he'll be up in the next couple of weeks. There's an opportunity for Larry Johnson, or if the time does come for Larry Johnson to retire and decide that somebody else is going to have to lead the point on this 2028 class, it could be really special for Ohio State in the way we're kind of talking about this 2027 offensive line class, because the guys that are in within a good proximity.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, we don't want to talk about 28s or 29s this early, But now in this new era of college football, like there's as good a chance that Darion Prescott ends up in the class of 2027 as there is he ends up in the class of 2028. Like there's so much reclassification. There's so many guys switching things up that you have to recruit them all as if they're available now. And that does add some pressure to the coaching staff. That does add some difficulty to things. But like this is the way it is. It's a big recruiting weekend for Ohio State. Is there anybody else that you think we need to talk about, Mick, before we let this episode of Talking Stuff on 97.1 The Fan wrap up?
I mentioned Carlos May there. He's probably worth a mention coming up from Alabama. Like I said, Larry Johnson visited him last week. There's another guy, Keyson Taylor, who I think I reported right before or right while Byrne was making these graphics from Illinois. Like Ohio State's clearly trying to keep things within this Big Ten footprint more and more with the NIL stuff, whether that's finding guys that you feel like can come a little bit cheaper, or just finding guys that you don't always have to pay for, or trying to, like, they're asking for you to pay for a flight to come on up. So I think those are a couple of names worth mentioning. And I'm trying to think here. I think at that point,
it's still illegal to pay for a flight, by the way, just so people know.
That's what Mike Loxley did say earlier this week.
Yeah, that, which is also illegal of Mike Loxley to talk about Zion Lee on the radio, but hey, who cares? Illegal, impermissible.
Okay, there is one more guy. We're mentioning all these Raleigh guys with Rashad Street and Quentin Cypher. Xavier Hassan, who's the really highly ranked cornerback from Raleigh, Cardinal Gibbons, is probably worth a mention as well. It's going to be a busy weekend for Tim Walton, Tyler Walton, Michael Hunter, everybody that's associated with that cornerback room. But Xavier Hassan's probably up there with the John Meredith types and some of the other guys like Danny Lang and Aaron Washington when it comes to talent and how much Ohio State wants them.
Yeah, it's and that's a player, Hassan, who camped at Ohio State, was really impressive this summer, has really been fond of Tim Walton and the way that relationship's been built. So, again, it's the old school approach from Ohio State. If people remember back in the 2017, 2018 timelines, the Buckeyes would see which major universities in certain geographic areas were struggling, and then they would attack that area. And so North Carolina seems to be an area that could be reopening for business for Ohio State with all of the turmoil in Chapel Hill and Raleigh and even down in Clemson, South Carolina. So one other defensive lineman, I think maybe it's worth mentioning there because we've talked about it before. There is at least a modicum of a chance that Emmanuel Ruffin, the Colorado commit, who was supposed to be on campus for Ohio State for the Minnesota game, but then did not make that trip because he ended up committing to Colorado the week before. There's at least some discussion that he might be in town. It wouldn't surprise me if he was alongside Carlos May when they make it. Does it mean anything big picture? I don't know. We've already talked about the defensive tackle situation for Ohio State. Maybe they'd take four just in case they need an insurance guy, or maybe they're looking to do a swap out. I don't know exactly, but I know that there's been enough smoke around Emmanuel Ruffin potentially visiting this weekend that we should at least mention it. We'll see if that occurs. A lot of things can change. A lot of things will change between now and Saturday morning as we look at these visitors, but it's October 30th now. A lot of these things will change by Friday morning. So I hope you listen to it on Thursday because otherwise it might be completely irrelevant. Anything else, Mick, before we wrap up this episode of Talking Stuff?
No, you and I received another text while we were recording this. And just when it comes to the Kevin Brown discussion, I know we spent a good amount of time on him, but again, that one is probably undecided at best right now on whether he does make it to campus. If he does, great for Ohio State. If he doesn't, there's other options, whether that's out-of-state guys. I think there's even more in-state guys beyond Landry Breed that they're still evaluating to at least see how the senior seasons go if you want to hit that six number. So
yeah,
we spent a lot of time talking about Kevin
Brown. Just to update, let's just tell people that text that we just received said that Kevin is telling people it's doubtful he makes the trip to Ohio State. So I guess we will find out if the Buckeyes are – right now the Buckeyes are practicing, so they're going to hopefully – be able to get a phone call with Kevin Brown before the end of the night and just get him and his family to understand that it might be worth the 4-hour drive just to see what Ohio State's all about for the first time. Because a lot of parents who have legacies elsewhere visit Ohio State and realize, actually, Ohio State's a whole hell of a lot better than West Virginia. So we'll find out. But that's where things are up to the minute here on Talking Stuff on 97.1 The Fan. And we really appreciate you watching. Mick Walker, thank you as always. You can find Mick and myself at lettermanrow.com, part of the On3 Sports Network. That's where my written work is. That's where the message boards. We hang out and talk stuff all week long. But this is Talking Stuff, the podcast version on 97.1 The Fan. If you are not subscribed to this channel, please do. If you do not have notifications set for this channel when new content hits, please do that. And leave ratings, reviews, whatever. You know, it's good to tell people about the work we do because we're doing it for you, not for us. Anyway, love you, America. Enjoy trick-or-treating tonight, tomorrow. Thanks, Mick. Bye.